Well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, and we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, working our way through the life of Abraham. Now, Abraham's dead, but the legacy lives on. And I think sometimes, when we're not careful, and I kind of wanted to try to decide whether we wanted to go further or not. I think we do, a little bit. Anybody need a worksheet, by the way? Just hold your hand up. If you need a worksheet, didn't get one, the guys will come by and give you one. Hold your hand up long enough, they'll be there. I think this, if we're not careful, we'll say, well, that was for Abraham. That was for that generation. That was for Grandpa. Well, that was for Billy Sunday. We need one down front here yet? A couple in here yet? We'll say, well, that was for those great. Listen, those people were nothing more than just regular folks. Elijah was a man of like passion. And yet he prayed for the rain to stop, and it stopped. And he prayed for the rain to start again, and it started. Now, that's not always God's will for us to start to turn off the faucet and turn it back on. But that's not, it's not about what it did. It's what it, the fact is that God did it. There's a lot, God does a lot of different things. And God, very seldom does God do the same thing in the same way every time. And so when God moves, he moves in a way that we know that God did. It's usually unusual. Now, in the life here, when it comes to what we've been talking about, we're talking about faith. And the fact is, we got to be careful. We got to make sure, we talked about this last week, that faith is being passed on to the next generation. Now, tonight we're talking about the promise. And there's some interesting things. And let me say up front about this particular message. There's enough mess going on all sides of this thing. Some of you know the story about when Jacob goes in and gets the blessing. And that's what we're talking about tonight. And you say, well, why did God bless him? And he was a liar and a thief and this and that and the other thing. That's actually the whole point. We're all a mess. None of us deserve the blessing. So who gets the blessing? The one that comes and gets it. The one that believes in it to take it. Now, God isn't justifying any sin in this story. So don't think he is. Don't let that confuse you. God's not justifying any sin. But the fact is, who's he working with? Sinners. That's who he's working. That's all he has to work with. Now, he wants us to get done with that stuff. He wants us to get past this stuff. He wants us to live righteously. But the fact is, we have to start with faith in who he is. Abraham, ordinary man, ordinary faults, ordinary fears, thus ordinary failures. And by the way, if it's ordinary, then his son Isaac had the same problem, and the boys Jacob and Esau are going to have the same problem. But the point is, he had ordinary faith in the faithfulness of an extraordinary God. That's the difference. God's not winking at sin, but he's helping us understand that none of us deserve it. And yet he by his mercy will do great things in our lives if we will come to him by faith. Now, I'm going to read this whole chapter, and then we're going to walk through it. And I'm sorry to do it that way, but the fact is, we want to know the Word of God. And so I want you to see some things that I have found every time I read through the Bible. I learn something a little new that I didn't see, or see a little bit of something that goes across, and this kind of comes around, and you know, I just find it's better to let God do the talking, and then I'll do some talking around it, but we're going to let God do the talking. Genesis chapter 27 and verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass that when Isaac, which was the child of promise, that showed up when his daddy Abraham was 100 years old and his mama was 90. Now, it says, it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, look, now I am old, and I know not the day of my death. I mean, who knows? I mean, I could fall over dead tomorrow. And so there's some things we need to attend to here. Verse 3, now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, some deer. Go out, shoot a deer.
Get me some deer steak and some bologna and some jerky, and come on, go out and get me some good deer to eat. Verse 4, and make me savory meat. That means delicious, tasty, such as I love. He said, you know what I like. I want you to go out there and make it just like I like it. And bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah, of course, that's Isaac's wife. That's the mother of Jacob and Esau. Heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. Now, if you remember last week, the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because Esau would bring all the meat in for him to eat. And Esau was a man of the field. He was a hunter, a fisherman, a man's man. Hairy all over the whole thing, kind of a, what was that, Grizzly Adams or whatever the guy was. Jacob, the Bible says, was a kind of a plain man that wasn't very hairy and just kind of hung around the house. And of course, he was making soup with mama that day. Now it says that Rebekah heard, verse 5, Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Esau went to the field to hunt for venison to bring it in. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son. Interesting. She calls Esau Isaac's son and calls Jacob her son. Oh, we got twins. One for each of us. It should never be like that. There's a problem right there. That's not good. She said, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me some venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. This is what a woman, mama's going to push some things she shouldn't push. She's telling her son, grown man, obey my voice. That's good. You should obey mama's voice. But mama, you shouldn't push them to obey your voice when you're about ready to do something deceitful. You say, I know the story. It turns out okay. You're going to see some things she's going to have to reap. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. I'm going to use the same spices we use on the deer meat. We'll just put it on the lambs, and I'll dress it all up here and put enough stuff on it. He won't know the difference. Verse 10. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. Duh. That's because you are. And the thing is, he didn't say, mama, we really shouldn't do this. He says, mama, we're going to get caught. And I shall bring, watch, verse 12. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. As mother said unto him, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And I believe, this is kind of on the side here, but sometimes parents lead their kids to do things they shouldn't do. And down the road, it comes back to bite mama and daddy. The kids were trying to obey the parents. And were kind of squeezed into it. And I'll guarantee you there's times when it comes back to bite the parents. And you know what? Usually what happens is they lose what they were trying to save. They're trying to hang on to their kids. A lot of times they'll lose their kids by the very sin that they were using to try to keep their kids. You try to give the kids, like we've been talking about on Sunday morning, you try to give them everything they want so they'll stay in church. And what we're going to lose, they're going to turn right around and bite you. Turn right around and curse you to your face. Some people give their kids everything they didn't have when they were kids. But the prosperity of a fool shall destroy them. They end up hurting their kids rather than helping their kids. Got to have God's wisdom. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Verse 14. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon her hands. In other words, he had a certain smell about him being out in the field. When our kids were growing up, my father always had a certain smell. It was a mixture of what? Oil and gas. Listerine. That's right. Kids used to say, whenever they stayed at their house or something, he'd always gargle with Listerine at the end of the night. Then he'd come in and give them a kiss. But he always had this oil and gas smell because he's always messing around with the cars and so forth. But anyway, he just had a certain smell. And you just walk, that's pop-up. You knew what it was going to sound like. Anyway, verse 16. And she put the skins of the kids, the goats, upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I. Who art thou, my son?" And Jacob said unto his father, "I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me to do. I rise, pray thee, and sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Got to get God in on your deceit. Verse 21. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, and that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very truly son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and he said, "Well, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am." And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, his clothes, and blessed him, and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee and blessed be he that blesseth thee." See, there's that. He just transferred the promise of Abraham. The covenant he made with Abraham, he just put that right on there, right there, verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me." And Isaac his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" He said, "Well, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau." See, he knew he was the firstborn, the birthright. Because he's the firstborn. Esau knew he was the firstborn. But what had he done with his birthright? He had already sold that thing. But he didn't look at it that way. He said, "I'm the firstborn, so I ought to go ahead and get the blessing. And I think Esau said, "Well, you know what? When all comes down, I think I'll get the blessing anyway. Who cares? I'm the firstborn. So if you want something called the birthright, Jacob, I'll give it to you." But see, God knows what's going on in the heart. God sees what's going on. Verse 33, and Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him, and he shall be blessed? I blessed him. I gave him the blessing. He's going to be blessed because he got the blessing." Verse 34. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing." And he said,
Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live. You're going to fight your way through all life. And shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. That's the blessing I get. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Daddy won't be here forever. When daddy's gone, I'm going to slit his throat. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, as far as you're concerned, doth comfort himself, proposing to kill him, to kill you. I mean, he's making him feel better that he's going to get you one of these days. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. So that's where he got in trouble in the first place. Oh, there, obey my voice, my son, and rise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. It's going to be a whole lot longer than a few days. Until thy brother's fury turn away. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence, and why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I just don't like the girls around here. I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth, all the people that live around here. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be? I don't think I could just take it if he'd marry anybody around here. So we get the next chapter, and Isaac calls Jacob and says, why don't you go back and get a wife? Of course, she's just pulling the wool over his eyes. Let's pray. And I know that's a long start there. We'll get some points. I'm going to try not to be overly long. But I want you to learn something. The blessings go with the promises. The blessings go with the promises. Now I'm going to give you, when I say that, let me put this on the end here so you get it. If you refuse the promises, you refuse the blessings. If you refuse the God of the promise, you're refusing the promises. So you're refusing the blessings. Because the blessings go with the promises. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessing, for your word, and for your promises. And so many of us are not willing to walk and do and seek you with all our heart. And we miss out on the blessing because we're not seeking the promises. I think sometimes we think we don't need the promises. Lord, bless our time here. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. The blessings go with the promises. If you turn down the promises of God, you're refusing the blessings of God. You turn down the promises of God by not being willing to trust and step out on the promises of God. Now, Esau, I hate to say he didn't trust the promise of God when he sold his birthright. He just saw no value in it. I don't think he really thought he needed it. If he had trusted the promises of God, he had realized what he had there in his hand and how much he needed it, he would have known that his little run-in with starvation, you know what I'm talking about, that bowl of soup, if he was starving, that bowl of soup was not going to make that much difference. He would have known that that little run-in with starvation was nothing to worry about because, listen, if he was going to have to stay alive so he could fulfill the promise of Abraham, he has the birthright. So the birthright is going to pass on to him so that there's a whole group of people so that the seed of Abraham can be as many as the sand on the sea and the stars in the sky. But he wasn't thinking about it. Not taking God seriously. Just living his life. So Esau took the word of God and his promises as a grain of salt. He traded it for a bowl of soup, and thus he traded away everything that goes along with the promise of the birthright. Now, by the way, when you're born again, you're born in the family of God, and that gives you access to all the blessings of heaven. Do you realize that? God says, I will. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to give you everything you want, but everything you need is there, and it'll show up at the right time if we're willing to live that way. But some of us don't live by the promises of God. We say, okay, we're God's children, but we're going to go live like the rest of the world. And he could say, okay, well then you're going to get what you get. God works within the context of our sinful world. And God does not endorse sin, but God does bless his faith in him. Let me give you number one, the passing of the promise. The passing of the promise. We've read this all. It said it came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said, I'm going to bless you. Behold, I'm old. I don't know how long it's going to be to my death. I need to pass the promise of God on to you before it's too late. So, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to take your weapons, and that kind of means your arsenal of hunting equipment. You got all kinds of things in there, all right? I want you to take your compound bow, and I want you to take your other one. We're going to go out here, and I want you to get me some venison. So take everything you have. You know what you're doing, son. You're amazing out there in the field. Go out and do that. Verse 4 says, I want you to make me some savory meat, a tasty meal, such as I love. And I want to do this before I die. Now listen, Isaac had the promise that was given to Abraham, and it was transferred to him as the son of promise in Genesis 26. 3-5. That's when it's thought, when Abraham takes that promise, and God gives that promise to Isaac. Now, it was now time to pass the promise of God onto the next generation, the third generation. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Now, Esau has already disregarded and despised the promise of God, looked down on it, made little of it. He did so enough that he sold it to Jacob for a bowl of soup. That was gone in a couple of hours, and he was hungry again. Now, Isaac may not have known that Esau had sold his birthright. My guess is Jacob didn't pronounce that. He didn't announce that to everybody, get himself in trouble. And you know what I think Esau? I don't think he cared enough about it. And he might have been too embarrassed to say that he did it. I don't think Isaac, Daddy, knew that little transaction that went on that day. But Esau despised, you know, he thought very little of his birthright, which is really the blessing of God, the relationship with God that came with it. Again, let me say this. If you're saved, you are God's child. God has given you many great and precious promises. Again, back in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, he's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. It came with the deal when we got saved and the Holy Spirit came in. He also says, I'll provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. If you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll give you all these other things on the hand. He'll take care of you. And yet somehow, you know, you hate to use the word despise, but that's what the word is in the Bible. It says we think very little of it. We don't make use of it. And in fact, we kind of get angry with God because he hasn't done more. But the fact is, we haven't stepped out in faith to do as he says. We were coming in, the radio was playing, and there's that old song, Do You Really Want Revival? Do you really want, you know, and so forth. And the last part of that phrase of that song says, Do you really want revival? Are you willing to obey?
Revival and obedience. What do they have to do with each other? Everything. We want God to give us revival and give us life, but we want to do what we want to do. We don't want to seek His will in our life. You want revival? You want to see God do something? Then do what He tells you you're supposed to do. Well, I don't know what you're supposed to do. There's a lot of things in this book that's very clear. This is the will of God. Do this. Well, you start doing that. They'll take care of all these other little things. We're not, and you say, well, I don't understand everything in the Bible. Well, I'll tell you what, you take care of stuff that you do understand. You obey the part you do understand. And see what God will do. Some folks want the blessings of God, but they do not want to be bothered with the relationship with God. God wants to pass on the promise. Are we willing to receive it? You say, well, of course we do. All right. You're going to do it His way. Number two. So God's going to pass on the promise. And I'm sorry for the analogy. So Jacob goes out for an interception. God's ready to pass the promise. And Jacob goes out for an interception. He said, "What? He's not looking. I'm going to slide in there and catch this ball. I'm going to get it." Some folks will do almost anything to get the blessings of God. And you know what? If you put the two together as a mess, God's not justifying sin. But I've seen people who were brand new Christians who have a lot of things in their life they need to get cleaned up. But they're living large and having a good time because they're trusting the Lord and God's blessing them. And you know what we say? How could God bless them? Because they're not doing this and they're not doing that. And this isn't right in their life. And look at me. And why? Trust. See, you know what they're saying? Look at me. I'm already in good shape. God certainly can use me because I'm worth using. You see what I'm saying? And we'll end up being the miserable one, and yet we got all our T's crossed, our I's dotted, the P's and Q's where they're supposed to be, and we're not catching. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't get your P's and Q's together. I'm not saying you shouldn't cross the T's and dot your I's. But I am saying when it's all said and done, we got to make sure that what we're doing is trusting the God, is trusting the Lord, trusting God, doing what He says. And nothing else, wanting His blessing and knowing you can't do it without Him. Letter B, there is a blessing to receive. God's got a blessing for you. There's a blessing to receive. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake to Jacob, her son, saying, "Behold, I heard thy father speaking to thy Esau, thy brother. Bring me my venison, make me savory meat, and make my eat." She said, listen, there's a blessing here. Boy, get in there and get that thing. Now, you know what? As deceitful as Rebekah is, you got to give her one thing. She believed in the blessing of God. And she says, I want Jacob. He was my favorite. I want Jacob to get it. Now, that's all wrong. I understand that. The point is this. Even amidst of all that mess, God says, you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Even if our heart's a mess, He says, you're seeking me, you'll find me. That kind of goes against our blood here, doesn't it? We think, well, we can't find Him unless we've now earned His love. You don't earn His love. You live like it because you love Him. But He already loved us. But He died for the ungodly. How serious are you about having God's blessing? Look at verse 8. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go in the flock and teach. And he went through all this stuff. We've already read it. And then she said, tell you what this. He said, he's going to know, and I'm going to end up with a curse rather than a blessing. She said, listen, upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. She said, watch, I would rather be accursed than you to miss out on the blessing. Now, it's wrong in the way they're going about it. But yet, in a way, there's a thought there, which is actually like Paul. He said, I would be accursed myself and go to hell if I knew that my people, Israel, would be saved. Now, that's very noble the way he did that, and not like her. I'm not trying to compare the two as far as, you know, their motive, if you will. But that's how serious she was about wanting the blessing of God. So number two, Rebecca takes responsibility for the deed. Now this is a kind of a side plot I want you to see here. It's never right to do wrong even for the sake of doing right. Your sin shall find you out. Now what she wanted was good, but she was doing it the wrong way. Listen. Do you remember when she was pregnant and she said, these boys were struggling, they're basically breaking, they're tearing each other apart in here. Remember that we talked about that? And she says, oh my soul, I wanted to be pregnant. Now these two boys in here, what in the world was I thinking? And the Lord told her, there's two people, two manner of people inside you, two nations. And the older shall serve the younger. You know what he was telling her right then? The birthright's going to the younger boy. She didn't have to go through all this. God was going to take care of this himself. She's getting ahead of God. Now, God's going to let it happen because it has to happen. It's part of the deal. He already said it's going to happen, but it wasn't happening the way it could have happened. Listen, he said, well, if she didn't do that, it wouldn't have happened. God, listen, we don't know that. God can do right even without us. We don't have to put our grimy hands on this. God wants it done right. He'll have it done right. But she gets ahead of things, so now it's going to happen, but she's going to have some issues. She takes responsibility and accepts whatever curse may come as a result of it. Now, Jacob, though not innocent in the deed, he obeys his mother. And you know what? The next time, after this story, the next time you hear of Rebekah, after this chapter right here, after Jacob goes off and gone, the next time you hear of her is when her nurse dies in Genesis 35. And then there's nothing until Genesis 49 when it says she's been dead and buried. The last you hear of her. That's it. I think the blessings for Rebecca seem to kind of stopped. A curse of God, watch, is the absence of his interceding blessings. We talked about that with Esau and Edom. When we talked about Malachi the other morning. He said, Esau have I hated, because he despised his birthright. But basically it means that, and hated just simply means love less, to not have the love of God being expressed toward him. I think, you know what, if you go back and read it, apparently after Jacob left, she never saw Jacob again. After she led him to be deceitful to his father. In fact, she talked about, I don't want to lose both my sons. What do you mean both her sons? Esau's still alive. How much did he want to spend time with his mama after she told the other boy to go in and get his birth, blessing? She kind of lost a relationship with Esau. And then Jacob's gone. She says, I'll take the curse. Trying to save her kids, she lost them by not doing it God's way. And so he went out and he fetched and brought the food in and goodly raiment. She got to put the clothes on him and put the skins on him so he felt all hairy. And by the way, Jacob is complicit in the crime. he's complicit, and he goes in and he says, oh, that's who I am. I'm Esau. And and amazing how we can bring God's name into our lying schemes. He says, well, how'd you get this so fast? Oh, the Lord helped me. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, they'll come in here and say, well, I prayed for this and this happened. I'm thinking, well, that wasn't of the God. But they'll say, well, the Lord blessed me with this. No, he didn't. Satan heard you too. And he got in there before the Lord got in there. And you took the bait. You've heard me say, I get some guys and what I need is a good woman to keep me straight. And I was sitting at the bar, and there she was, down at the end of the bar. And I thought, this is the one. No, it's not. God gave me her. I know he did. No, he didn't. She's the strange woman. Run! Then they'll come back and say, you know, I don't understand. I just know God put me, but we're just having all this problem. Listen, God didn't put her in your life. And Jacob was given three opportunities to admit his deceit, but he doesn't. He doesn't. Isaac did all that he could to confirm his suspicions. And he even said, hey, come over here and give me a kiss. Well, smells like Esau. I guess it is. And so Isaac passes on the promise of Jacob. Isaac passes on the promise and the blessing of God. Let me say this underneath there, number two there. God is not endorsing what Jacob and Rebekah did to get the blessing. You remember that. God is not endorsing. That's not what he's saying here. This is showing that, watch it, that Rebekah and Jacob believed in the promise of God and wanted to be the one that was under the spout where the blessings come out. That's all it's saying. God is not endorsing sin, but they did believe in the promise. And you know, every once in a while you run into somebody who says, I'm too bad for God to save. You're not. Believe the promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and God's no respecter of persons. Now hang tight. Number three. Is that right? Number three. When we despise or look down on, make little of the promises of God, God allows the world to take the promises away from us. We will reap what the world has. If we don't think we need what God has, all we have left is what the world has. And so if we make little of what God has, he will let you have what the world has. And it's going to be a mess. Verse 30 says, it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce out of the way from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau came in. And we know what happened. Well, why God let it happen? Because Esau had already sold his birthright. I don't need to be that person. I don't need God's blessing. Now watch me this. God offers eternal life. But if we make light of it and not see the essential need of it in our lives, we will one day come to the Father, and you know what he's going to say? What he did to Esau. Well, who are you? Who are you? Well, I want it now. Too late. One of these days, we're going to stand before the Father, and we had better make sure that we took the blessing of eternal life seriously. Not a take it or leave it. It really doesn't matter. If I get it, okay. If I don't, it won't matter. There comes a time when we make a decision and it's done. The door goes shut. And we are now stuck with a decision that we made. That's what happened, Esau. I don't need God. I don't need this birthright. I'll be fine just all by myself. Not thinking past today, how many people have decided, I got too much living to do, I don't have time to get saved. I don't need that in my life. Listen, I want to go out and live life, I want to live life, enjoy life, but you know what you're doing? You're going to go out and
live life and enjoy sin for a season and then reap the consequences. And you're not going to enjoy the tail end of this thing. And then when you get to heaven and you meet the Father, he's going to say, now who are you? The blessings are all gone. They've all been divvied out. There's nothing left for you. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken the venison? The blessing has been blessed. He's saying, and you've missed out. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried, watch, with a great and exceeding, this is verse 34, great and exceeding bitter cry. But his word great is a comparative word. In other words, much more than anything that's normal. And exceeding means vehemently, bitter cry, that means shriek. Ah, I'm not going to do it. I'll mess with the PA system. Ah, you know what I mean? Totally helpless. He says, there's got to be a blessing left for me. He says, well, thy brother came with subtlety. It means deceit and fraud. And hath taken away the blessing. And he said, and Esau says, well, he has a right name, Jacob. See, when Esau was born, Jacob came out right behind him holding on to his heel. And Jacob means heel catcher. In other words, one who gets ahead by tripping up others. Not by winning the race, but tripping the guy next to you so you're ahead. He says, for he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. But wait a minute. He says, you took away my rightful position as the leader of the family and the blessings of Abraham. Well, Esau sold his birthright. No, he took it. Well, he took it after you sold it to him. It says, he hath taken away my blessing, my promise of prosperity. No, you sold it when you sold your relationship with God. How much is your relationship with God worth? What does it take to sell it? A one-night stand? A can of beer? A little extra money in your pocket? A little prestige? A little higher position? Time and watching in front of the TV? It's amazing what we'll sell the blessings of God for. Esau had not only sold his birthright, it was perfectly legal deal. And now he blames Jacob as if it was Jacob's job to look out for Esau's best interest. Now, Jacob should do. We should look for our brother, I understand. But Esau sold it. Hebrews 12:14 says this. Did I give that to you? Yeah, I did. Look at that with me. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, in other words, it was now his turn to be head of the family, but that opportunity was gone. He would have inherited the blessing. He was rejected. He was not approved for the position. Why? Because the position was no longer rightfully his. He sold it. And says, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Listen, Esau was ready to make war, not peace, with Jacob. But it was bitterness caused by his own foolish decision. The choice had already been made by him years earlier, and the deal was settled, and the blessing was given, and a blessing is not a blessing. Watch me. The blessing is not a blessing if it can be revoked. So the blessing had to stand And all the regret and the anger and the sorrow and the tears was not going to change a thing. It doesn't change the facts. We have a chance to get the blessing. But if we refuse the blessing, we've refused it. Now, God in His grace gives you time. But there's going to be a time when the death comes and there's no changing that decision. And I don't care how much you cry and mourn and weep, it's already done. You sold your eternal life for something else down here in the world that wasn't going to last more than a few hours. Number four. There are no substitutes for the true blessing of God. There are no substitutes for the true blessing of God. There is the blessing of God, and then there is everything else, which is less than the blessing of God. Verse 37, Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for service, and with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto my father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, and my father. And Esau sitteth up in his voice and wept. This is sometimes we do not take having the blessing of God seriously. It isn't really all that necessary, is it? That's what we think. It will not be that much. It won't make that much difference. It will make a difference when we choose to have God in our lives, and when we do not choose to have God in our lives, it's going to make a difference. Listen, there's a rich man and there's Lazarus, and a rich man saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, and he said, let him come over here and cool my tongue. He said, listen, you already made your decisions. No! You've already made your decision. It's done. And I wonder how many blessings we've missed out over the years. Time has come, there was an opportunity, and we sold it. I know I've said this before. I think one of these days when we get to heaven, in a kind of a figurative thing, but you know, it's like walking in that little closet in your mansion. You say, what's in this closet? Well, that's all the blessings you were supposed to get when you were on earth that you never asked before. That was the blessings you were supposed to get, but you had too many other things to do. I think we're going to find that we're going to miss out a lot. Letter B. Ready? Quick decisions have long-term consequences. Quick decisions have long-term consequences. We do little things, but it was no big deal. Is it right or is it wrong? If it's sin, it has eternal consequences. Not just temporary consequences, eternal consequences. Verse 39, Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above, and by thy sword shall they live, and shall serve thy brother. Eternal consequences. Letter C. Esau hated Jacob because Jacob had more faith in God. Jacob was a mess. He might have been a worse person than Esau, but he believed God. Listen, you ever hear the old song, God's filling up heaven with sinners? You ever hear that old song? He's filling up heaven with sinners. That's where we are before we get in the door. Now, once we're in the door, it's different. But that's who he's bringing up there. There's some people who, you know, they've got their everything all lined up, but they're not living with the blessings of God. Simply believe, you do right. I understand, do right. But don't give up the blessing of God. Verse 41, Esau says, hated Jacob because of the blessing. That word hated is not what we talked about in Malachi where it says love less. That word, because that wasn't, this, that word hate was a, that was related to God. This is related to man, Esau. That word hate means to, he was against and lurked for his demise. He lurked for his demise. Why? Because of the blessing. Huh. Wherewith his father blessed him. Why didn't he say he was upset because he lost the birthright? See, the birthright brought responsibility. What he wanted was the blessing. He wanted the things. He wanted some things to please him. It wasn't about a relationship with God. He missed out on the blessing. So God allowed the blessing to be taken away from Esau because the blessings of the birthright no longer belong to him. Because you give away your birthright, you give away the blessing. You refuse the Savior, you refuse salvation. You refuse it. Letter D. Esau had no right to be angry. Esau had no right to be angry. Esau had sold his birthright. And when Esau sold his birthright, he sold the blessing of God. And if he had not sold his birthright, he would have been in line for the great blessings of God. God would have blessed, watch, God would have blessed those who blessed him and cursed those that cursed him. Right? Now watch me. God would have cursed Jacob for trying to steal the birthright if he wasn't giving it away. Right? But he sold the birthright. He made his own stupid decision. If Jacob had tried to somehow get the birthright beforehand, behind everybody's back, he would have been cursed because Esau was the one who was supposed to be getting the blessing. Letter E. Esau had sold the position, his position with God. And so now he is the one cursing the one with the birthright, and thus he will be cursed and not blessed. Let me say it again. Esau had sold his position with God, and so now he is the one cursing the one with the birthright, and thus he will be cursed and not blessed. Jacob now has the birthright, so he has the blessing. And what did Isaac say? God will bless those who bless you and curse those that curse you. So now Jacob has that promise. And now Esau is mad at Jacob for taking it, well, even though he gave it away. And now Esau, and you go back and say in the Bible, Esau is now cursed for cursing Jacob, when it should have been the other way around. Listen, there's long-term consequences. Just hang tight with the Lord. Malachi 1, we talked about how Jacob says, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I cursed, hated. But Esau was the one that was in line. So he should be getting the blessing, and those who bless him are supposed to be blessed, and those who curse him should be cursed. But he threw it all away. Number 5, coming down the end here. This is kind of on the side, but I want you to see this. I want you to see the misuse, ready? Of parental influence. The misuse of parental influence. Rebekah continues this ruse and is now leading her family into bitter division. She says, now therefore, my son, verse 43, obey my voice, and I rise and flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? Because she led her children into sin. We think the consequences of our choice not to do right will only last a little while. She says, it'll only be a few days. It'll all blow over. It won't be any big deal.
But this is most likely the last time she sees Jacob. She would be deprived of both of them. She lost Esau when she chose Jacob above him, and they're both her sons. And Rebekah has the gall, the next verse here, has the gall to use, again, righteousness to cover for her deceit. Verse 46 says, you know, I'm just weary of the life around here. All these women around here, a bunch of worldly women, and I don't want my son marrying one of these worldly women. Well, I think maybe he ought to go back to Laban there and get a wife sometime, you know, from our folks there. I think, you know what she's saying? I need to get him out of town. She's lying to her husband. She's not telling him what she did. And what that which was her whole life. Jacob ran the kitchen with her. She loved Jacob. And in her sinful approach to try to get him everything, to make him prosperous, to have, I really think, the things of the world. She believed God, but she wanted him to have these things, that she lost him. Doesn't pay. Now, the promises that are coming from God are from God. And if we despise the promises of God, it is because we think little of God. There are long-term consequences to our choices. And when we despise an eternal God, we're despising eternal promises. And we are going to reap eternal consequences. Jacob and Rebekah had many issues, and many made many wrong decisions. But that's true, and there's consequences to that. However, on the flip side, we need to see something. They did believe in the promise of God, a desire to have God's blessing. God is not pleased with sin. We will reap the consequences of our sin. God is pleased with faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Esau gave that up. Esau was not going to be able to please God. He despised God, not believing that he is and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And as sinful as Jacob was, he diligently sought God. Ready for this? And that pleased God. Now, when it comes to sin, there's plenty to go around in here. In our story, and in our room, there's plenty of sin to go around. There's plenty of guilt to go around and blame to go around. And justifying sin. But if God will bless Jacob simply because of his faith, he'll bless you if you seek him with your heart. Believe him. Trust him. Now, we live in the age of grace. We have the Word of God. We can't say we're seeking him if we're not obeying him. Jacob didn't have this. Okay? They didn't have this. They didn't have the law. Didn't have the New Testament. Didn't have the Proverbs. Didn't have the Psalms. Didn't have any of that. In their deluded mindset, he sought God, and that pleased God. Now, to whom much is given, much is required. You can't say you're seeking God if you're not seeking to obey God. So, well, I'm never going to be perfect. So what do you do? What happens when you sin? 1 John 1, 9, we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't his love something wonderful? Father, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Kind of confusing. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will help this all settle in. May we seek you with all our heart. And Lord, I know we need to seek you in the right way. But if we can't seek us, if we don't know better, you'll take us if we're seeking you. Lord, speak to hearts. Heavenly Father, please do a work in our lives. Heads are bowed and